This episode is brought to you by Taste Washington. With more than 235 wineries, 65 restaurants, and some of the nation's most talented chefs, Taste Washington is the ultimate taste test. Learn more at tastewashington.org.
I'm HRN's Communications Director Kat Johnson with a preview of this week's episode of Meat and Three, our weekly food news roundup. This week, we're celebrating Valentine's Day. Whether it's your favorite day of the season or you avoid it like the plague, there's no debating it's a big day for the world of food and hospitality.
Valentine's Day is what we refer to in the industry as a blackout day.
I don't feel that my manlyhood is threatened when I order a glass of rosé or, God forbid, a rosé champagne.
It's an old Jamaican drink from way back, and we just decided to bring it back into existence. It's a drink that the men, they believe it really does wonders.
Tune in to this week's Meat and Three on Heritage Radio Network. That's M-E-A-T plus sign T-H-R-E-E. Available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, and welcome to A Hungry Society. I'm Korsha Wilson, and this is a show where we talk about food, food media, and so much more. Today's guest is Lauren Darnell, the Executive Director of Made in New Orleans, MINO. She's a proud native of New Orleans with a deep-seated commitment to giving back to her home state and the New Orleans community. She's a graduate of the University of New Orleans, where she studied anthropology and women's studies. She also lived in New York and London, spent some time abroad.
Yes.
Before returning to New Orleans to work with MINO. Yeah. In 2016, Lauren began working with a great program called Son of a Saint, committed to fostering the growth of young fatherless boys through mentorship, emotional support, and skill development. She was drawn to MINO via a longtime personal friendship with the BRG Hospitality Group and CEO Shannon White, and she accepted the executive director position in May of 2018. Lauren, I'm so excited to have you here.
I'm honored to be here, Korsha.
We were talking about how much time we spent together in the last 2 weeks.
Isn't it funny how life works out that way? Yeah, exactly.
Yes. So MINO, listeners who aren't familiar with the organization, can you talk a little bit about the mission and the projects?
Absolutely. So it's called Made in New Orleans intentionally, very proud of being from New Orleans and understanding our long history of food and an impact of food and food ways, going back very far. But the mission is to support chefs of color to acquire resources and support to further their careers. So we specifically serve chefs or aspiring chefs from New Orleans, and to attend culinary school. And historically, since 2011, scholarship recipients have been going to International Culinary Center in New York, which is why we are here. And we have 17 alumni recipients of the program. And so when I was brought on in May, I really wanted to check in with everyone and see, like, how are you doing? What has acquired since you've received your education? Like, what support and resources do you need? And so I really was very humbled and honored that the alumni, and there's 17, and I work actively about with 11. They were like, you know, we want to give back. We still have some challenges in this industry, and there's definitely a need, and we'll walk with you in support of that. So we're here in New York because we're doing a fundraising dinner at a New Orleans restaurant called Gumbo Bros, a Mardi Gras themed dinner because it's Mardi Gras time. Mm-hmm. And we have Chef Cassidy Lewis. She moved back up to New York. She graduated in May. We have Chef Alex Anderson, who is a vegan chef who is cooking this evening. So they're, you know, born and raised in New Orleans, and they're like ridiculously talented, and they graduated from ICC.
Hmm. That's so amazing. I briefly went over your like resume and your accomplishments, but can you go a little deeper into what like fully brought you to Made in New Orleans and how you came to work for the organization?
Absolutely. So it's random, right? So I never, it's not like I woke up and I was like, oh yeah, I really, you know, I think this is what I'm going to do today. It really has been a development of all, like, my background. I've always wanted to support young people and youth. And so always tried to help others and make a difference in the ways that I could. So I was a teacher. I moved back. So I was in London. I was in London teaching yoga, and I really wanted to move home, and I really wanted to share all of these things I've learned living in New York, marketing and working as a publicist. And I wanted to somehow make an impact at home. And I thought, hey, what about yoga for kids? So I moved back home, and that started my journey on mentorship and relationships with youth and how do you make a difference. Now, our alumni are not youth. So let me be clear. They are grown folks. And, but the intention is that, we are, part of our mission does help young people. So not our alumni specifically, our alumni are helping to mentor other young people about the careers in culinary. And so that's an important distinction. Mm-hmm. Shannon White, who is the CEO of BRG Hospitality, you know, I've known her for, God, almost 17 years more.
Wow.
And I've, you know, seen her grow up in the ranks of the restaurant group, and I love her family. They're very rooted in civil rights for others and very supportive, and on both sides of her family. And so, you know, I knew she was taking on this pioneering on this big ship and creating safe working spaces for people in her restaurants. And so I reached out to her and I said, you know, my experience is a nonprofit work. Do you need anything? Like, what's up with your foundation? And we had lunch. And that lunch was very long, and I couldn't stop talking to her about the things that she should do, or I recommend. I wasn't saying I would do them. I said, you should go and do this, 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 and you know, it's critical. Like, this is a really important time. And so she offered me a position right after that. Hmm. And
What do you think it is about the culinary space that is so useful for civil rights? Like, what do you think it is about the culinary space that allows it to be utilized that way?
Yeah, I think about this regularly, right? So, you know, this show, which is, you know, trying to bring people to have conversations about food, and it really is that simple. Like, food is a connector and a connecting piece. And I think ever more these days, we need to be having meaningful conversations, and we need to be doing that with people who are different than us. And so food, we can all kind of get down with food. We can all...
Everybody's got to eat.
Everyone's got to eat. And there's something with putting the same foods in our mouths that connects us as humans. And so there's so much that's working to divide us. So I see food as this really connecting piece. And then food is, there's creativity and art, and there's so much... you know, when someone works with their hands to put something together, and, you know, it's like generational, there's things that are really beautiful about, working with your hands. And there's a whole, you know, I don't want to make it mystical, but there is something that's special when someone takes the time and to be of service to others, and their work and their heart and hard work are acknowledged, you know, so I think food, I mean, being in this, now I'm in the food industry, it like absolutely is everywhere I want to be. It's perfect in so many ways. And, you know, my background in yoga and health and wellness, food is medicine, and food connects us to have conversations. And, I'm very aware of the conversations we need to have. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So we talked about, you know, the two recipients that are going to be at the event tonight. But can you brag on your recipients some more for a bit? Because they've done some cool stuff. Like, they are, like, I don't want to say the future of food. They are the future, but they're current well.
Absolutely. I think, you know, they're all in different stages of their careers. Mm-hmm. They're all extraordinary humans, have very interesting stories. But, you know, a lot of people have interesting stories. They really do. And they're different from other people working in the culinary industry in New Orleans because they were lived in New York for 9 months and they went to school and they, you know, I lived in New York, so I know, like, New York will kick you. It'll be like, you really, are you sure you want to do this?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I believe when you travel and you live in another place, it broadens your horizons. Yeah. And they've all had that experience. And, you know, Cassidy is a perfect example. You know, she is, you know, at 16, she's working with Susan Spicer, you know, doing pastry and creating menu items and, you know, developing recipes in Susan Spicer's restaurant. And then, you know, she got this scholarship opportunity, came to New York, you know, still was what, you know, wasn't, she's just 20 now. Sorry, Cassidy, I'm putting you on blast.
But that's she's so young.
But she worked with Nina Compton at Compère Le Pen. She worked at Couvent, which is a brand new French restaurant with and leading the like she was the head pastry chef there and working. Wow. I mean, she's just constantly striving and, you know, very clear on her ethical and moral and her value and quality of what, you know, how you should be treated in the kitchen and, you know, not going to compromise, you know, health and wellness in order to bake cookies and make these beautiful desserts, plated desserts that she makes. So Cassie's a brilliant example. And so she was like, look, I really want to move back to New York. And I was like, do it. You absolutely should move back to New York. You are, you know, young, you want to keep learning. So she's here in New York, and that's new. In the past, the recipients would stay in New Orleans. But I truly believe, and no pressure, Cassidy, that we all always return back to New Orleans at some point. But you know, there's no pressure. You stay here, girl, as long as you want. But I mean, you know, it's New Orleans is in you whether you're there or not. And Korsha, you were just there, so you could speak to this.
Yeah, it definitely. And then also, like, if you're not from there, I think it kind of stays with you in ways that you don't realize until you, you realize it when you're there, but when you leave, it also stays with you.
Yeah.
As a visitor.
Well, so Serena Johnson, our first alumni, she was a CHOP champion. So Serena is just awesome in so many ways. She was a graduate of Liberty's Kitchen, which is a program that's similar to Brownsville program here. I'm excited meeting with them tomorrow.
They're great. Love them. Nicole Shout Taylor. Out to Brownsville.
Yeah. So she graduated Liberty's Kitchen. Just, you know, super humble, like, of New Orleans, you know. We attended an event together. I said, hey, I need, you know, why don't you be my plus one to this Louisiana Hospitality Foundation? Serena knew everybody in that room from the executive chefs being featured, from the young people in the kitchen cooking who were, you know, mentees of the other chefs. She knew everyone in that room. And that's important because it shows when you work in food, how many people you touch, and you really touch a wide range of people. Byron Bradley, who's an alumni, he was in the Navy, which is how he started cooking. He's an artist. So he does a supper club and really unique events. He loves give back. So he's always doing events for kids, including Edible Schoolyard, just all sorts of. Byron's like my ambassador because he's like, yes, whatever I can do, happily I'll do. I mean, I could go on. Alex, who's our vegan chef, she did, we have our first like soul food vegan festival in New Orleans. She killed it. It was her first festival. And so we helped support her to, you know, to put on, you know, for that. Festivals are very big in New Orleans, as you know. And so that was an awesome experience just to watch her like shine, you know, so bright and like just have a platform to create and to really inspire people about veganism and vegan food.
Right.
So.
Oh, that's great. Oh, I'm going to put a link in the description for this show so that people can check out the recipients and learn more about them.
Yeah.
Because the list is just incredible. And
yeah, I know. I just shout out to all the alumni. If I didn't mention you, just know you are loved and appreciated. For all of your hard work. Yeah.
Awesome. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more of Lauren.
This episode is brought to you by Taste Washington. A food and wine lover's wonderland, Taste Washington offers the most wine and food from one single place in one single place. Including samples from more than 35 wineries, 65 restaurants, 60 exhibitors, and some of the nation's most talented chefs, each spring, attendees can drink and eat their heart out over 4 days brimming with specially curated events that highlight the best of Washington State. The result of a continued partnership between Visit Seattle and Washington State Wine, Taste Washington is taking place March 28th to 31st, 2019. Mark your calendar for this year's lineup featuring The Red and White Party, Taste Washington on the Farm, The New Vintage, Seminars, The Grand Tasting, and Sunday Brunch. Learn more at tastewashington.org.
Are you enjoying this podcast? Heritage Radio Network has plenty more. It's Todd Shulkin, the host of Inside Julia's Kitchen here on HRN. Inside Julia's Kitchen carries on Julia Child's legacy of introducing the brightest lights in the food world to a wider audience, just as Julia did from her home kitchen. Look for Inside Julia's Kitchen wherever you listen to podcasts and on heritageradionetwork.org.
All right, so we are back. And now we're going to get a little more personal, and we're going to talk about your love of dining. Do you have a favorite restaurant at the moment? Is that tough for you as someone from New Orleans? There's a lot of good food there.
It is. It is. I think it's there's a lot. People ask me all the time. So now I know, being in this, you know, there are lots of restaurants that are amazing. And
do you have one that you tell people and then one you actually go to?
I know. I had a good friend, a couple of people are always coming to town, so it's something I do regularly. But you know, I have Barbara Rodriguez is alumni, and she's working at GW Finn's, and so she's doing desserts there. You know, Alex is working at Maxwell's Cafe, which is a vegan cafe, so I absolutely support that you should go there. We have Delvin Davis is at Mahoney's Po' Boy and like seafood shop, and so he's making amazing stuff over there. And we've got Chris O'Corey, who just competed in Guy's Grocery Games like 2 weeks ago, and he works at Martin's Wine Cellar, and so he's a sous chef there, and so he does things. He makes amazing dishes over there. I mean, it's so hard because, you know, I had my birthday dinner at Compère Le Pain, and I know like it's the everyone's talking about it. I know I'm like, oh my god, so much, but I just I have had excellent experiences every time I go. So that's one of, I recommend there a lot. Paloma Cafe.
Yes. Love them.
Love them. So
Justin and Danny are.
Yeah.
Incredible people.
That's a great lunch spot for a meeting. Oh, you know, doing that is really great. There's a little tiny restaurant on Esplanade called Lola's that I really love. Spanish influence. You can get paella. I've been going there since I was in college, and so that's like kind of has my heart. And Little Dizzy's, like Little Spot, you know, they've been at it for a really long time, and they put down. You could put, you know, gumbo. You can put your foot in. It's real real good. Well, we were at Dookie Chase's, right?
So yes.
I don't eat at Dookie Chase's a lot because to me it's a special occasion. So you know, but I'll go every couple months, but I mean, you know,
classic.
I know you got to throw hands up, like, you know.
Did your family have any like sort of dining traditions when you were growing up? Was there a place you guys went all the time? Or
girl, Shoney's.
In Louisiana, y'all were going to Shoney's.
I know. Because there wasn't, you know. Yes and no, right? So we cooked a lot at home. My mom cooked a lot. you know, my dad actually is a pescatarian, so my mom always cooked two dishes. So
that's a great place to just eat seafood, to be honest.
So. Yeah. So that's, you know, we would definitely, D&E's, we'd go there like on a Sunday and get, you know, or weekend, whatever, and get, you know, crawfish and boiled shrimp and crab and like that. Those are my fond memories of like going out with my family and you know, getting peeling shrimp and that kind of thing and sitting out with them. So my
very favorite, like my, low key, like
like you know, every holiday, you know, we'd go for a buffet somewhere.
Oh yeah.
So I mean, my mom, I think my mom's gumbo is the best gumbo. So you know, So I like those home cooked meals the best. You know.
So
smothered okra
from from the best to the worst. What's one of the worst dining experiences that you can remember? And you don't have to name the restaurant, but you can.
I will not name a restaurant. You know, because everyone's human and they have moments. I think service industry is tough, you know? I think it's really, and for me, you can tell when there's no care in food. And I don't know what's going on or what happens. And I, you know, again, like, I don't want to persecute anybody, but yeah, man, you can tell when someone doesn't care and they throw your food down, you know, or the food, you know, it's not, there's not enough salt, like stuff like that. I feel like is offensive because I'm just like, come on, please. So that's my worst dining experience was the food had no flavor. It came out cold, so I knew it wasn't just made. You know, the server was wherever they were that day and weren't present to what was happening. And just like, you know, it was too much drama going on around me to really enjoy the meal at all.
That's the worst, when you like are having dinner and you're part of a soap opera.
Yeah.
There's clearly stuff going on with the staff and you're like, I'm just here to eat.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, we try to be accountable for, you know, someone's providing a service for you and you're paying for that service. However, they are human.
Yes.
So
I think if you have a lot of empathy, like you can pick up that energy and and it doesn't feel so good.
Yeah. No, yeah. Like I understand, but, you know. It's an art, like service is an art, and it takes a lot of work.
Absolutely.
And so when you, it's recognizable when you have like a superior experience, you know that, wow, this is really something else. I'm a big brunch person, like love brunch. Toast is one of my favorite brunch spots because they have a really good fried chicken and waffles.
Where is Toast?
Toast is on Grand Route St. John. It's right next to the fairgrounds.
Okay.
I like it because it's local and you can sit and see the, you know, see in the kitchen and like make eye contact with who's making your food and drinks are good and it's just a cozy. It's like a warm, small little spot, a little cozy. So I really like that.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So last question for you. If you could have your last meal in a restaurant, where would it be and who is invited?
Wow.
Yeah, it's a big question.
And
keep in mind, you don't have to know the people you're invite. You can invite anyone who's ever lived, celebrities, musician, whatever you want.
I'm a big fan of James Baldwin and Nina Simone. I would have loved to have like sat down in between both of them.
That's going to be a long night.
That's going to be a long night. I know.
They're going to be talking for a long time.
I'm fascinated with sort of this, like, you know, this period in history where there was this burgeoning, you know, black artistry and expression and calling out for change. And I'm also obsessed with Michelle Obama. I'm sorry. Not sorry.
Yeah, I was about to say, look, please don't apologize for that. Everyone should be obsessed
with. I have dreams that I have conversations with her. Yeah, and then, you know, Miss Leah Chase, 100%, would love to have her sitting there just to keep us all, like...
On your toes.
On our toes.
Yeah.
Just to keep us all on our toes. Yeah, and I've been digging a lot into my family history, so I'd like to have, like, you know, my great-great-great-great-grandmother or some greats in there to sit down and tie it back home. And where would we be eating? Wow. I'm going to say, like, I like outdoor on the bayou.
Okay.
With a table and some crawfish and some seafood.
What are you drinking?
I love sparkly bubbly things, so it'll probably have some bubbles in it.
Nice. Any dessert or?
Wow.
No sweet stuff or?
No. We always have to have sweet things. What are we eating? What are we? Man, just some really good old vanilla ice cream with maybe what Cassidy's put this in my mind. She created this idea of Steen's cane syrup. Ice cream that we're gonna have tonight at dinner. So,
let me know how that is, please.
Let's have some good old ice cream with some Steen syrup.
And then that's it. That's
I mean,
that's the perfect spread.
So yeah, with some potatoes and corn, some music playing. Yeah, I think that would be cool.
And I like it.
Yeah,
I think that's a great way to. Just walk into the bayou after that.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah, done.
Well, Lauren, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
The next time we do this, it'll be in New Orleans.
Please.
With we'll welcome something anytime. Sparkly, yeah. Bubbly.
I got you. I'm going to get my list together.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, no problem. That's awesome.
Thank you again.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for listening. We'll catch you next week on A Hungry Society.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, to learn more about our 10-year anniversary celebration happening all year long, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter. Our handle is @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/Heritage Radio Network. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, and more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.